sausage, double chips and beans, tea and bread and butter, and a day on the machines. Christmas coming, we're the final.
Before we get back to our topic on breakfast, and y'all have a lot of great talking points for this segment, tell me about what y'all did this week down at the state capitol. Yet generally, that's the Department of Ag. Right. Does the Congress breakfast.
They kind of allow us to host it there. Yeah, legislative.
Okay, yes. There you go.
So every January, Arizona Farm Bureau hosts our legislators, and we have all of our booths from our 14 active Farm Bureau counties. There's 15, obviously, in the state, but we have 14 active Farm Bureau counties. And each one of those counties has a booth with all sorts of stuff and highlights their agriculture, obviously. Well, normally ADA or Arizona Department of Ag has allowed us to have it in their building, which is kind of neat and a tradition. And it's a neat old building of some
it
of these.
It is a beautiful building.
Yes, it's actually a beautiful building. But this year we had it out on the grounds at the Capitol, right opposite the house, and out on the grass. And we could spread out. And last year, we had maybe 54 of our legislators show up. Well, this year, it was well over 60 of our legislators show up. So we're convinced that, and we also had it during the noontime instead of in the evening. So we're kind of convinced that that's part of it. The reason we've made that shift is we're prepping, by the way, for our 100th anniversary, Arizona Farm Bureau's 100th anniversary. That's how long we've been here. Not how long I've been here, but how long Arizona Farm Bureau's been here. And so the legislators came out, and we got to talk to them about our $23.3 billion industry. And each one of the legislators is assigned a host, a.k.a. a farmer or rancher from one of the counties, and then they can chat with them. So the legislator has an opportunity to say, okay, how's farming in your neck of the woods, so to speak, here in the state of Arizona? And it's been a very successful event for very many years, and we were very excited about this year's event. So, and we didn't have breakfast, but we did serve them a wonderful barbecue lunch.
Yeah.
And props to Bruce Kane from Farm Bureau Financial Services, who's on the insurance side of the Farm Bureau family. And there is nobody that does barbecue like him. It was amazing. And we barely... My boss, Philip Bashaw, CEO of Arizona Farm Bureau, and I were kind of almost the last two people to eat. They were scraping. There wasn't much left by the time we got there. So it was a great event. But back to breakfast. And we didn't get to hear what you cook on the weekends, Patty.
Well, the weekends vary. So the weeks are obviously, you know, you're rushed, you're crazy, you're getting out the door for work. So weekends, we definitely like to spend a little bit more time on breakfast. And that typically happens on Sunday mornings for us. And, our kind of go-to favorite thing is getting some really good bread. My favorite bread in town comes from Noble. So really good artisan bread. Jason does a phenomenal job and toast that up. Saute whatever greens that I have picked up either at the farm or the market, and do a nice poached egg on top with herbs, and sometimes we'll throw in sauteed onions, but and just a nice latte on the side, and I'm a happy camper.
That sounds great. So you have to tell me, I know you probably pick up some greens from the farm, but what other farmers markets do you visit?
Because
we always like to get props to our markets.
And I live out in the West Valley. So the closest for me, and it's fantastic, is Blue Sky Farms. So David Vose has got a store and stocks that with all kinds of stuff. And he carries Noble bread, so I don't have to drive clear in town to get my bread. So that makes me very happy.
A good incentive.
But in town, I mean, you know, there are so many great markets around, and I've always gone to the downtown public market has really kind of been my place to go. Because, again, just from, you
that's
know, just an
one.
East to get to, it's the quickest one for me to get to.
And on the east side, because that's where I live, I go to the Gilbert Farmers
Market. Yeah,
Gilbert's
great.
That's a really good one, too. So, you know, we were talking about healthy breakfasts, hot breakfasts, but, you know, we can't give up our pancakes on a weekend when Dad gets up and he actually cooks breakfast for the kids. Sometimes that's a family tradition. How can we make our pancakes a little bit healthier?
Well, One of my favorite ways for a savory pancake are shard pancakes. So, and I have to give props to Charlene Badman of F&B because she's the one who really awesome. Turned me on to these. And we actually, there's a program called Blue Watermelon Project where it's Charlene's project, activated chefs in the Valley to go into schools and teach healthy eating. And Charlene went in and made shard pancakes for the kids at the school, and they gobbled it up. So it was, awesome. You know, just a good way to, if you still want those pancakes in the morning, but you want to make them a little bit healthier, you know, add in some herbs, some sauteed onion, saute that chard up, put it in there. I mean, it's just like making a regular pancake. You're using eggs and milk and flour, but you're adding savory ingredients to it.
And the kids eat them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of very creative ways to do that. You know, Romy, one of the things I usually come in with some fun food facts. Well, this time I really didn't because Fill Your Plate's just loaded with quite a few breakfast type of articles on our blog. And obviously some of our recipes feature that. But I'm feeling that Fill Your Plate, and I'm hoping maybe you can help me with that, Patty, that we provide some of those savory pancake recipes because I know the families would try them.
We could definitely do that.
Yeah, if we have them available. But pancakes being what they are, there's other flours that we can even use. There's the mesquite flour, and I believe on Fill Your Plate, that's searchable. What are some of the other flours that we can potentially use? Or, just base or medium, main ingredients?
I mean, you know, we've got the white Sonoran wheat the Icorn flour that's being produced here. And, you know, you're seeing a rise in these different types of grains and flours that are coming into the marketplace. So it's always a great idea to grab some of those. Just start experimenting because the flavor profiles on them. I mean, you mentioned mesquite flour. I love chocolate chip cookies made with mesquite flour. It just gives it a little bit of a different flavor. And at the same time, when you're finding those folks that are bringing back and reviving some of these heritage grains, supporting them is a good thing to do. So,
and we've had quite a bit of recognition, especially with the Sossaman Farms, with some of our ancient grains.
Absolutely.
And what Steve Sossaman is doing with that. And it's kind of fun to know that we can go back, metaphor intended here, to our roots with some of these amazing ancient grains and incorporate them even into our breakfast. So it's very valuable and important to do. So I'm feeling that I've got to incorporate a lot more variety into my breakfast, including the savory tastes and all that stuff. What have you told yourself that you still need to try that you haven't done for a breakfast?
Wow. I have not. I have eaten shakshuka like in many different restaurants, but I've never made it. So that's something So that's, I mean, you're sauteing. It's not anything really, you know, crazy, but you're sauteing onions and garlic. Typically it's canned tomatoes. So you want that juice so that it is kind of liquidy, but you cook that down with different herbs and spices, and then you crack your eggs on top and literally poach them on top of that. And you can saute spinach and again, shards, kales, or whatever, put that in there if you'd like to add more greens into it. But, and you know, we're talking about a lot of greens, but I have to say, I love my bacon and my sausage. And so, you know,
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. So, you know, kudos out there to our farmers and ranchers that are raising pork and beef for us to enjoy. So
you keep talking healthy. I'm like, that's the one meal I don't care.
Yeah.
Load me up. It's the beginning of the day. I got all day to burn it off.
Yeah. And I mean, I certainly have tried to increase my fruits and vegetable intake just to be more healthy. And I think that, you know, when you're eating, it's in moderation, right? It's everything in moderation. So, and I respect people who, you know, have different diet platforms, and there's nothing wrong with that, but.
And that's the neat thing here in America. We have the opportunity to really experiment with the things that we like. But I'm like Romy. Sometimes I just like a good old bacon and egg breakfast. You know, too over easy for me. And then some bacon, and then all
certain comfort foods.
Yeah, certain comfort foods.
Yesterday I was out hiking a lot, and when I got home after dark, Jennifer said, "What would you like for dinner? A scrambled egg sandwich?" I thought, that sounds perfect. Just two pieces of toast and a scrambled egg.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes nothing is better than breakfast for dinner, right?
Oh,
yeah.
And we haven't really talked about that, but that's very popular a lot of times with families.
Julie mentioned on Fill Your Plate, fillyourplate.org, if you look at, you can search under breakfast, and it brings up all those recipes, and there's really a nice variety on here. Everything from an acai berry bowl healthy all the way to the big papa scramble, protein scramble. Lots of good choices.
And well, even one successful thing of this broadcast is now every Sunday morning before church, when I have my Sunday morning breakfast, I can feel guilty. Because it's sausage, boudin, bacon, and Jennifer's homemade biscuits.
But you're going to church. And
hallelujah.
He'll get rid of that guilt.
I guess I'm going to have to add a slice of cantaloupe to that or something.
They'll forgive your sins. Don't worry about it.
Romy, what's your favorite breakfast?
So I've got, forever it has been boudin, and it still is. Cajun sausage boudin. It is phenomenal. I absolutely love it. And my favorite thing about it is once you heat it up, you can just leave it out and chew on it all day. Come back and cut another slice, cut another slice, cut another slice. Well, I still prefer boudin, but another really good one, and the kids actually, of the four kids, more of them prefer this. Have you ever had Portuguese linguiça?
Yes. That's very good.
Yes. So that is a new discovery that, well, not new to the kids, and since they have discovered that, That seems to be what we end up having more than anything. And it's like boudin. You heat it up, you cook it, and all day long you come back, cut another slice, cut another chunk, whatever, and just kind of munch all morning long. It's good hot, it's good cold.
Do you cook it? Is that what you create? Or?
You know, generally, Amanda will cook breakfast for everybody. On weekends, you'd mentioned, you know, sometimes the dad cooks. We'll share a lot on the weekends, the cooking, but generally... she's already got breakfast ready by the time everyone's through the showers and beds made and everything.
During the summer, breakfast was a big routine for us because we're all out of school. Mom and Dad have plenty of jobs for us on the farm. And during the farm, back then, it was either trimming trees in the pistachio orchards or chopping weeds in the cotton field. And so a summer morning breakfast for us had to be hearty because we were... metaphorically speaking, again, plowing through a lot of things. And I'm telling you, by midday, if you hadn't had a good hearty breakfast, you were going to feel it. So breakfast to us as a family were really important.
And for me, I eat less during the rest of the day if I have a good breakfast. I don't ever feel like I'm trying to catch up on my hunger.
Breakfasts wake me up. That's why I think they're valuable. Well, I may be that... is partially because I'm adding a cup of coffee to it. But.
Jennifer started adding avocado to practically every breakfast she eats. Half an avocado, pull the seed out, poach or fry an egg, drop it in that hole, sprinkle bacon crumbs across the top.
I'm going to have to try
that.
Then
after
one.
She leaves, I have to throw some hollandaise sauce on it.
And an avocado is a very healthy fat for
us. Avocado toast has just been all the rage for a while. And you can do it so many different ways. So many different ways.
How do you do it?
It varies. I mean, one of my, just from a very simple standpoint, again, is get some of that good noble bread and toast it and put the avocado on top. And then I just usually do a little bit of fresh squeezed lemon juice, salt and pepper, and I use Aleppo pepper on it. So,
Aleppo pepper.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Gary, find a pre-record to play 9 o'clock. We'll all go to breakfast and then we'll come back and do 10.
Let's do
I'll bring you something.
Let's do a rerun.
We'll be back in 15.